Hello, my name is Mark Alcoholic, and my sobriety is December 20th, 1998. And just worried for the holidays, but you can't do it. And Billy decided to stay in town, because I think he asked me to speak before I was going to say, you're supposed to be gone. Don't worry. And I hung out with Billy the most at Waffle House. You know, all this healthy food stuff. I mean, my sponsor drives me nuts. And I remember the Waffle House day, like for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, big greasy stuff, and it was great. And just love him. I'm not any better because Billy told me it took an hour and a half to get here, and I'm like, it doesn't take me an hour and a half to get there. I grew up in Jersey. You know, I drive fast. It can't possibly take an hour and a half. So I left like at 4:45, you know, and there's some slow person from Maryland, so I passed him. And then, I think her alcoholic was waiting to see me, actually, because they started tailgating me, and they sped up. And I'm like, this is great. And, you know, I finally got two-lane road. I'm like, well, let them pass. I'm like, I'm going to start tailgating them now. You know, I'm going to start tailgating them for a little while, and they took off going 80 or so. But, you know, I still have my bad habits here and there. And, you know, you can do an hour and 20 minutes going 70. So, cut it close, just in case you're ever late coming back down the other way. So. But anyway, it's good to be up here, and, you know, I'm the only alcoholic in my family. You know, we're Irish Catholics, so there's got to be some more in there somewhere, but my dad's not one, my uncle's not one. My granddad might be one, we don't know, he was old when he died, so I don't really know. Supposedly he drank a lot of scotch and stuff like that, but I'm really the only one. My cousin supposedly's got, she came upon a year now, she's up in New York City, which is nice. But we're really the only alcoholic in my family, I never saw drink. You know, it's, all that means I couldn't blame my family for my problems, you know. Kind of wiped that one out early. And I never really knew what alcoholism was. I never saw it. You know, my parents could control their drinking. It wasn't around. So I'm like, I grew up in New Jersey. I go to New York City. I'm like, there are bums on the street. I'm like, that's an alcoholic. If I ever become a bum on the street, then I'm going to be an alcoholic. But until I get there, you know what, I got a long way to go. Because I never really knew what alcoholism was. And, you know, I talk to two groups of kids every Monday, and I worked in residential placements for the last 10 years. And, you know, I talk to them every year, every Monday, probably about 5-6 years now. None of them gotten sober yet because they're too young. You know, they have this alcohol thing. It was just the drink and be easy to see. You know, it's like wake up really drunk, be just stupid. I'm gonna sober up and I'd be all right. But you know, it's really not the drinking's the problem. My alcoholic brain says I'm never that bad. I got sober at 25. My brain said, you know, you can't be an alcoholic at 25. You got to at least be like 60. You know, that's a good alcoholic age. You know, you got to have a couple DUIs. You know, I just never got caught. And I've never missed a day of work in my life. Been hung over every day and stuff like that. I'm late for it, but I've never missed a day. I'm like, so I couldn't be alcoholic because my alcoholic brain says, we know what an alcoholic is, and really it's not you. It's just fun to live on the street, so until you get that way, you're not that bad. And I buy that all the time. And the other tricky thing about alcoholism is that I get real goofy when I'm sober. And I wasn't too happy we're on the same level, but I was hoping I matured a little bit. But, you know, I guess we're okay. Yeah. I speak last. And when I get sober, I just don't feel like I fit in. I get anxious and I get uptight. It's like Christmas. I love Christmas. You know, I like getting a gift, but I hate going to Charlottesville to go shopping because you drive too slow. You're all in my way. And I got waiting this long line. And I just go nuts. And, you know, that's why when I get sober, I just get anxious, I get uptight. I start thinking negative. You know, I've been sober 7 years. My brain still goes, you know, why are you living in Dillon? That's a tough question. You know, you don't make enough money. You don't fit in. There's no one really your age. Why are you here? You know, just an alcoholic brain. It's just negative. And that's just that's what I'm like when I'm sober. I only found two things in my life that changed that. One's booze. You know, you drink some booze real quick. You don't think about much of anything, which is kind of nice. And the other one's AA. And that takes a little bit longer. And but knowing growing up, well, I didn't know any of that. I just know in third, fourth grade, I always felt different. Felt anxious, uptight, you know, kind of this big hole in your stomach you don't know what to do with, and always just socially awkward, stuff like that. When I drank the first time, I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I grew a couple inches. I could talk to anybody. I wasn't self-conscious. I absolutely loved drinking. And you know, I don't remember how old it was. It's all real kind of hazy, you know. Everything when I was drinking is all kind of blurs together. I can't tell ages and time. But I remember the first time I blacked out, the first time I drank. I've always been a blackout drinker. And it never bothered me. I just figured it's part of the job. I figured everyone blacks out as part of the deal. And I find out later you don't. But blackouts never bothered me. And just because I have blackouts, you know, doesn't make me alcoholic. You know, I know a lot of people don't have blackouts, and they're not just as alcoholic as I am. I'm just happy to be a blackout drinker. And I probably drank, you know, once or twice a year early on. When I was 14, 15, something like that. You know, my dad was very simple. He sits two tangos in Vietnam. And the rules were, if you don't follow them, get out. And I didn't doubt that. You know, it's not one of, you know, here's the line. You know, with Dad, you never wanted to cross it. You know, you kind of scooch up next to it and help Mom and get you around it a little bit, but you never wanted to face Dad. And it really kept me in check for a long time because, you know, all I really did in high school, I started drinking beer here and there, did some other stuff on weekends. But I got the things done I need to. Like my dad came up to me junior year. He's like, your grades aren't very good. Paying a lot of money for you in this private school, and better get your grades up. And that didn't motivate me or anything like that, but I got grounded for 8 months in a row. And so all I do is I go home at night, on Friday night, do some other stuff, and then Saturday I had nothing to do, so I studied a little bit. And really, I don't know how I got, but I made the honor roll or something like that. And I was like, oh, right, so you put your mind to it, you can do it. And I'm like, this is the most stuff I've ever done in a month, you know. And but I made honor roll, so I got into a good college. You know, went to college in Philadelphia. You know, I know people go to college for a reason. You know, it's amazing. You know, I talk to kids, like, I want to go to college for this, this, and this. And this is what I want to do with my life. I'm like, man, 18 years old, all I want to do is drink. I want to get out of the house, go to college. I have to answer to my parents, no curfew. I just want to get drunk every day. That's really all I wanted to do. And that's what I did in college. In the first week of college, I met a bunch of guys who drank beer and did everything I did. You know, for some reason, I don't attract those, you know, people who have good goals and objectives and want to do well in life. I kind of attract those kind of bums who just want to drink beer and smoke dope every day. You know, those are the people I know real well. I met some guys freshman year for 4 years. We knew each other. And it was the same 4 years, and I met the same people pretty much. And our main goal every night was, where are we getting the booze from? You know, we didn't have fake IDs yet, so we had to pay some seniors to get it, and then we had to figure out how much we're going to get. And we hoped it wasn't like Black Label up there, or Golden Anniversary, terrible beer. But that's what we wanted to do. You know, and like halfway through the semester, we'd be like, have you gone to class yet? I'd be like, no, you. And we'd sit around going, well, they owe us like $3,000 back. We haven't gone to class. $100 a class. And it makes sense to us. And we're like, you go ask. We're like, no. And that was my, you know, and then like, I go home for Christmas. And you know, like, Christmas is always terrible. The grades came in like a week beforehand. You know, and if you got kids, you know this. And I used to hate that because it's like, who's going to ruin Christmas? Is it me or my brother and sister? And it's always me because my grades are terrible. And you get the lecture from Dad. Why am I spending all this money for you at college? Yada, yada, yada. And here's what I know, I was always different. Like my brother got the same speech because he went out freshman year. Got like a 1.9. You know, my brother's a kind of like perfect kid. I was all kind of happy screwing up. He got the lecture from Dad. Got like a 3.6 throughout college. I come home with a 2.1, so I was a little bit better. I get the lecture from Dad. I graduated at 2.2. You know, didn't faze me one bit. You know, because I go back. I always remember. I've had so many plans. I love plans and ideas, and they're great at 2 a.m. And the next day I kind of get lazy and forget about them. But I remember going back to school. I'm going to go to class. You know, I structure all my classes. They start at 11:30 in the morning. You know, I was like hungover till 10:30. Gotta be able to get to class at 11:30. Now, I'm going to buy my books before the third week of school this time. You know, I'm going to go to at least class twice a week. You know, I'm in good shape. And it's like Monday night, we come around, I'll be like, you want to go drink? I'm like, yeah. Class is 11:30. You know, next thing I know, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, oh, well. And I go through the same pattern. And, you know, my drinking, you know, in college was five, six days a week. As much as I could get it. And, you know, that never fazed me. I'm like, this is normal. And you look around, everyone you're drinking with you, they're all doing the same thing. What's the big deal? You know, during the summer, you kind of go home, and I've been a landscaper, putting in fences my whole summer career because they paid cash. It was good work. My boss started drinking at 7:30 in the morning. You know, it was a great deal for me. You know, my parents never liked it. They come on like, you're driving drunk again. I'm not that bad. Like, they're mumbling your words. I talk fast already, so put a few beers in me, you can't even understand me. And like, you're mumbling your words. Don't drive anymore. I'm like, all right. So it's always a big struggle to get home for mom and dad, hop in the shower, brush your teeth, and come downstairs again. And, yeah, what a fun thing to do. Seems so normal, too. And so I decided to go back to college early, because I didn't like living at home. And, you know, one had a bad week, that first week of school, because school hadn't started yet, so we used to go back, we're there to party and drink and do that stuff. And I got caught drinking like 6 times in the dorm room one night. You know, the year before I knew their RA, so I got 6 times. And they sent me to the dean. And he's like, you might have to take a semester off. I'm like, you don't understand, we don't do that in my family. My family's, you know, Catholic, pristine, good thing. My dad's good in business. Brother graduated in grad school at Georgetown. We don't do this in my family. I'm like, your parents are going to have to come down. I'm like, man. And my great brain says, we need to go drink and figure out what we're going to do, or I'm going to go drink. Screw this, it's terrible. So I go out and get drunk. And I'm one of those, you know, I always forgot you're supposed to walk around every now and then when you're sitting at the bar, because you see how drunk you are by walking. So I sat at the bar, did shots and everything else, and I passed out in the street and woke up in jail. And supposedly in jail, I got hold of the phone, called my mom in a blackout and cursed her out or something like that. And mom and dad were coming down 2 days later. And so they came down. My dad's just like, we don't want you home anymore. I'll take the blame for this. We don't want you home right now. You better apologize. Your mom will call you when we're ready. And I'm like, man, it's pretty bad. And so I got to stay in school. And, you know, 2 days later, my brain's going, I don't want to go home anyways. I don't have to call them Sunday afternoon anymore, which means I can get drunk and watch football. You got to stay somewhat sober because I got to call them. It's like, I don't know, show my grades for a while. You know, this isn't a bad deal. And it's like, you know, I go 2 days before, life's terrible, I got to straighten up, and I'm in all this trouble, I really want to change my life. To 2 days later, like, it's their fault anyways, bro. And that's just my alcoholic brain. It justifies it so fast. And because of all those, all the trouble I got into, they sent me a lot of alcohol classes. And I was thoroughly entertained by those things. I don't know, guys, we imagine that the more we drink, the cooler we are. I don't know why it happens that way, but it seems to be. And my buddy got in trouble, too, as we went to alcohol class together. Like, you know, mark down how many days you drink. You know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm like, yeah, I got those. You know, like Christmas, holidays, St. Patrick's Day, birthdays, and then, you know, like, add them up. I'm like, all right, you know, I'm like, you know, like, who's got more, you know, and going around? I got like 234. You know, I'm kind of pretty happy about that. My roommate's got like 275. I'm like, man, let me reach out. I can beat you. And the counselor said, you have over like 30 days, you're probably alcoholic. I'm like, oh, well, you know, that didn't bother me. You know, and the police sent me to another alcohol class. And, you know, I don't even know what they were talking about. I got a round of applause. I drank the most. You know, so that was cool that way. And we all show up drunk to this stuff. And all I remember told they talk about this chemical in your brain that makes you alcoholic, and I thought that was great because I go to the bar, and I was a soap opera bar kind of guy sometimes. You go to the bar at 3 in the afternoon, watch the soap operas. And so I go to the bar at 3 in the afternoon, and I talk to my local drunks, you know, and like, hey, let me tell you why I'm alcoholic. I got this chemical stuff in my brain. It kind of releases itself, so it's not my fault. And they kind of look at me like, what are you talking about? What do you talk about during soap operas? You know, and then I decided to grow my hair long, had my hair down to here, and a ponytail, and an earring, and my dad called me his daughter, you know, because I was military. My mom made it to say I wasn't going to live at home, so my idea was I'm just going to stay down here, Dad. Mom's like, we want you home, just come home. I'm like, what about my hair? Dad's like, keep it in a ponytail. It looks somewhat neat. I think we took like 3 pictures of my hair like that, you know. And for 2 more years, that's all I really did. I just drank beer and did spot. I ain't going to get my hands on. You know, you name it, I've probably done a couple hundred times. And it never bothered me. You know, and every now and then something would happen in college, and I didn't know what it was at the time, but I'd be drinking, and, you know, I'd hate being drunk. I'd go through this really moody stuff. You know, I'd be really like, negative. And I started thinking about suicide, and I'd play with razors a little bit, and I'd be like, this sucks. What's going on? And you know, every now and then I'd go try to talk to somebody, and of course, when I'm drunk at 3 in the morning, I'd be like, look, I think I'm an alcoholic. You know, and I need some help. You know, see him 2 days later, like, you're all right? I'm like, yeah, fine, sorry about that. You know, but
to go through periods of that for like 3 or 4 days.
And I didn't know what it was. You know, I didn't know it was alcoholism. I just figured, you know, I got to lay off some of this other stuff I'm doing. Up this stuff I'm doing, we'll be okay. And but I remember that real distinctly, going through these periods of real dark, gloomy times. And, you know, early signs of alcoholism, I guess. I mean, for 4 years I drank and I partied and I did everything I could do. And somehow I graduated. And it didn't really matter to me. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I graduated with a history degree, which is, I don't know what you do with a history. I'm a teacher, luckily. I just kind of fell into that. But I'm like, what do you do with a history degree? It's like, I really didn't. I think back to all that wasted money, but it's worked out in the long run. And after those years of college, I'm like, I need a break. I've worked hard for 4 years. I don't want to get a real job yet. You know, I'm tired. You know, so I went back to my boss, you know, landscaping because I got to drink every day. And I loved it. And, but then I come home, Dad'd be like, you got a job yet? I'm like, no. He's like, why'd you go to college then? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, you better start getting a job. He's like, if you want to do that stuff, it's fine. You should have gone to college yet. I'm like, all right. And, you know, so Dad gets heat on you, and then, like, you know, you go out every night getting drunk. You know, you're driving their car home, and then Mom catches you at 2 in the morning. You get a big blow-up in the morning, and Dad comes down. Like, it just gets kind of old after a while. And so I decided to cut my hair and find a job, and found a job in Virginia. Only reason I'm here. I'm like, it's a lot far away from my parents. I didn't have to wear a suit and tie. I'm not a big suit and tie guy. And worked in a residential program 5 days a week, 24 hours a day. I'm like, I can handle this. Just kind of enjoy doing it. And for 5 days a week, 24 hours a day, I was completely sober. And I could do it. You know, I was 22, 23 years old. And, you know, for 48 hours off, I'd just get drunk. I remember I'd get off at 10 o'clock on Friday. I'd drive to Farmville. And there's a gas station full of Jack Daniel bottles and little things like that big. Buy a 4-pack of those and a 6-pack of beer. And I'd put those down by about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Pass out for a couple hours, and I wake up and I go to the bar. And for 40 hours, I just get drunk. I'm like, what else do you do on weekends? You know, 22, 23 years old, aren't you supposed to be drinking? It sounds good to me. And so for 40 hours, I get drunk. I didn't think there was a problem with it. You know, I remember the first night I was there. Because, you know, you always hang out with drunks like the way I drink. You know, you don't really see normal drinkers. You know, I'm like, my buddy Phil, I love my buddy Phil. I don't know where he's at. He needs to be here somewhere. We always had Phil to compare ourselves to. He had like a .6 GPA. And we'd come home from the bars, he'd be passed out on the porch, gone to the bathroom all over himself like 5 times. And he's just like, if you ever get best, Phil, you know, we got to play drinking. Yeah, well, I'm not Phil. And so, but then I go hang out with these guys. Like, I show up the first night, and I'm like a bulk kind of guy. I buy like a case of Milwaukee's Best Tall Boys for $8. You know, I'm like, here's a beer, you know. And they walk in with like a 6-pack for 2 of them. I'm in the wrong crowd. I'm like, I got a few beers extra. You guys want some? Because I probably had planned on drinking 18 of them. And they just kind of look at me like, you want to drink that much? I'm like, well, yeah. What else are you going to do on Friday night? You know? And so then I kind of had to go find some other friends who drank the way I did. So I found them because, you know, drinking around normal people is really just kind of boring. You know, like, you go home at 10:30. You know, they have no problem driving home. And or they walk to the bars and stuff like that, or designated driver. You know, my designated driver was when I have less than 6, maybe, you know. I don't black out, I can drive. And so I just found people I could drink with. You know, I was good at what I did. You know, I could show up and do my job. And I'm pretty good at it. You know, you practice those habits most of your life, you can see it in other people. It's not hard to do. I can lie, manipulate, look in the eye. Tell you a great story that's totally not true. You know, I can do those things. So other people do them, I can see them too. That's what my job was. And so I got promoted, which means I got to go home at night. And then you have a nice new plan. Okay? Because you can't, you know, late night drink until 4 in the morning. So I'm like, get off work at 10, be at the bar by midnight. You meet 10:30, 11. Have 3 or 4 beers. And then go home. Like, this is a great idea. Be home by 12:31. It's a good 6 hours of pass out sleep time. You know, get to work at 7:30, we're good to go. Problem is, I go to the bar, and I like my bartender. I don't want to leave him by himself for a couple hours. And I like drinking. I'm like, 12:30 roll around, I'm like, I'm not really all that tired. You know, I'm all right. You know, I probably do this anyways. And so I'd stay at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Drunk, black out, make it home somehow. I live with a drunk, and we'd both be, like, late. And, you know, I remember we had a radiator that went up and down. Whoever woke up first kind of nailed it to wake up the other person. So he woke up to clanging every morning. And, you know, we'd show up 5-10 minutes late to work. But I didn't see it as a problem. People like, you know, people didn't go out so late last night. And I'd be like, I was under a lot of pressure at work. So people like hearing that. Here's why I'm drinking. I'm under a lot of pressure. I don't feel real good. I don't fit in. I'm kind of anxious and uptight about things. And they buy that stuff. And at the time, I probably bought it too because I didn't know any better. And so my drinking got worse. And every now and then people would say something to me. Like, you know, you got to stop coming in smelling like booze. And I'm like, all right. And I got a solution to that. I should smoke more cigarettes on the way in. Have a toothbrush at work. You know, slap on more deodorant in the morning. And I fixed that problem. And then I get confronted every now and then about it. And they got promoted again, so it means I got to go home at 6. And I'm like, this is good. I can start drinking at 6:30. I can definitely be home by midnight. I can be ripped by midnight. You know, because I'm not, I never understood they got 2 or 3 beers and stop. I like, I want to get there. You know, I don't know where there is, but I know what it feels like. And that's what I was wanting. But the problem is I started drinking at 6:37. And I black out. I don't know what time I go to bed. Sometimes midnight, bartender would drop me off at home, drive me home. Sometimes it'd be until 3 or 4 in the morning. I don't really know. I just knew with my credit card, I can't tell you how much I spent. But man, I had no idea how late I was there. It didn't bother me either. But it seemed to bother people at work. They weren't too happy with it. And they sent me to my boss every now and then. And he's actually my sponsor today, but he's my boss. And we talk about drinking. And he didn't, you know, I thought I was going to get in trouble. He was like, most of your weekend revolve around drinking. Well, yeah, what else do you do? You know, he's like, do you ever try to control your drinking? I'm like, no, not really. I'm like, it's like, do you ever get drunk a lot? I'm like, yeah. It's like, do you black out? I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you think it's a problem? I'm like, not really. He's like, all right. He's like, well, some other people think it is. He's like, and I knew he kind of quit drinking. I didn't really know anything about him or AA because, you know, he's just kind of the boss who walked around, gave you some feedback every now and then. He kind of wanted to stay out, you know, so kind of avoid the guy. And so that was my, you know, every now and then I get sent there. But then I go back out and I get worse. I start getting drunk. I start getting mean. You know, so I start a reputation as a mean drunk. And I start firing people at the bar at 2 in the morning, you know. And that's never a good thing because, you know, I guess I could do it. But it's like, you know, new guy shows up and he's trying to just kind of get to know everyone and be in Virginia for the first time. I'm ripped at 2 in the morning. I'm like, you're fired. I'm like, you know, they don't know what to do, and they go back and complain to somebody, and then, you know, the boss comes. And I'm like, man, here we go again. He's like, you know what you did last night? I'm like, no. He's like, well, here's what you did. I'm like, I didn't mean to. He's like, well, you black out a lot like that? He's like, yeah. He's like, you know, it's not normal. I'm like, really? And I didn't buy it. I didn't believe it. I figured he was trying to scare me or something like that. So I called a couple of my old friends I used to drink with. Some of these guys I've known for years. I'm like, look, we used to play Anchorman, get drunk all the time, right? So I'm like, you guys black out? I'm like, no. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, Nugent, after about 3 hours of drinking, we were all pretty buzzed, and we switched over to water. And actually, we drank these big cups you couldn't see through. And you'd be the only one drinking, you and this other guy. He's a drunk, too. We'd all switch over to water. I'm like, why would you do that? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I don't want to be hungover the next morning. I'm not stupid. You know, I didn't understand. So I call a couple other buddies of mine. I used to drink with them, too. And I'm like, you know, I've been asking, like, did you ever black out before? And I'm like, yeah, I blacked out once in college. I'm like, that's what happens. Like, well, it scared me to death, so I never did again. I'm like, really? So I used to drink with you all the time. He's like, yeah, I switched over to water. I just kind of slowed down after a while. I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird. And I'm like, why would you do that? And I'm like, I don't like being drunk. I'm like, why not? You know, I never understood that. I'm like, why? You know, my perfect idea at the time was Friday night, let's go get some nice case of Sierra Nevada, put it on ice, flip on the tube, sit on the porch. What more do you want? You know? And I didn't understand that, but it started making me think every now and then. So every now and then I tried to cut back on my drinking. And never worked very well, but I tried different things. You know, if I stay sober 48 hours, then I'm not really that bad. I don't know why that makes sense to me. You know, it's like, tell that to someone else. Like, stay sober 48 hours, you don't have a problem. And like, I'm sober a week. You know, 48 hours to me would make sense. I could never make 48 hours. But after about 24 hours, I'd be like, I get anxious. Get up to say, stupid, what am I doing this anyway? Everyone else is drinking. They're not getting any trouble. Why can't I drink? I'm like, screw it, and I get drunk. And, you know, I just kept getting more and more trouble as I was going along. You know, last year my drink, I don't remember that much. I got promoted at work still, so I could do it. But the last year my drink, I'd go to the bar, and they set me up with two shots of Goldschlager and a pitcher of beer. And I put that down about an hour, and I was well on my way, and I don't remember the rest of the night. I did that for the last year of my drinking. Show up every day at work. And most of the time, I'm like, this isn't that bad. And then every now and then, I sober up. I get enough trouble at work, you know, and come in smelling like booze. You know, maybe what you did this weekend, you know, the usual speeches. And I sober up for like 24 hours. People are like, how you doing this morning? I'm like, doing all right. He's like, you didn't drink last night, did you? I'm like, no. They're like, yeah, you must have showered. You look good. You don't smell like booze. You're on time. I'm like, we're proud of you. I'm like, sober 24 hours. You don't know what it's like. It sucks. You know? I don't know how you guys do this. You know, it's like, we're going to be sober all day at work now, you know? Like, why do you guys want to live this way? It's terrible. And I never understood that, you know? It's like, halfway through the day, my brain's like, we're going to drink tonight. Just, you know, sober 24 hours is good enough. Didn't get in any trouble last night. Let's go. And, you know, I go out and get drunk, and some mornings I wake up at 6:30, be at work at 7, I'd be like, I can't wait to get drunk tonight. You know, and how do you tell people that? You know, it's like, you just kind of look at you, that weird look, like, what are you thinking? You know, my parents always ask me that, I get in trouble, baggers, like, what are you thinking? I'm like, nothing. I'm thinking, oh, I just want to drink and have fun, and they don't like that answer, you know. It's like, in college I took, my senior year I had to take 19 credits, I was supposed to take 15. And I take the same class twice. Same professor, same time. And my parents are like, what are you doing? You failed that course. You're going to do the same professor at the same time but for your second semester? I'm like, yeah. It's like, what are you thinking? It's like, you can't really tell them, well, it's a 6 o'clock class at night. You see, I used to go to the bar at 5:30. And the Simpsons was on 6. So it was a big choice. Go to class or drink beer and watch the Simpsons. It's like, you know, so they didn't understand that. They're like, what are you thinking? It's like, it makes sense to me. Yeah, and then, so the last year, I try to quit drinking off and on. I get in more and more trouble. You know, they send me my boss more and more. We talk about drinking. It's like, ever go canoeing? I'm like, yeah, you go canoe, bring a six-pack of beer. You know, it's like, well, yeah. Anyway, so I understand I'm drinking like he is, and I'm just getting worse. And the big problem is I can't stand being sober. And that's why I know I'm not an alcoholic. I'm like, I know I drink too much, but when I sober up, like, it's worse. And you know, I can't stand being sober. I need some relief, so I go drink. And I didn't know that was alcohol. My idea with alcohol is you get drunk, you live on the street, and you get a lot of DUIs, and you know, I didn't know what it was. And so I just kept on drinking. My boss left, he started a new job a couple months before I got sober. He said, you ever ready? Give me a call. I'm like, all right, maybe, you know, 24 now, maybe a couple of years from now. I'm not quite done yet. I can figure this thing out, because I've always been told if you put your mind to it, you can do anything you want. You know, people buy that one. My dad loves it. He gives me that one still. And for him, it works. It's worked his whole life. He retired at 60. You know, he doesn't have to work anymore. And I just hope he retired by 60. But that's what I was told. And my last night drinking was really kind of boring. A friend of mine was leaving, so you know, I guess more people like a holiday that parties and celebrate. They don't drink. Let's go get drunk 10:30 in the morning. Pal, let's go. We'll celebrate our last night together. And so we started drinking at 10:30. I blacked out probably around 2. Came to about 4, or bits and pieces around 7. Remember a little bit about 9:30, passed out the rest of the night. And to me, I thought I was a good drunk. I didn't drive anywhere. I didn't curse anybody out. I didn't start anything. I was buying people beer. You know, I always liked buying people beer. I don't know why. Someone to hang out with, I guess. And I thought I was one of my better behaved drunks. You know, and I go in the next morning, and a friend of mine, he's like, dude, I'm tired of drinking. He's supposed to be my partner. We're supposed to run the place together. So I'm sitting here drinking, coming every day, stinking of booze. You got a bad reputation. You're supposed to train people, and all I have to do is defend you while you're still working here. Say, I'm sick of working with you. I'm like, I've heard worse. You know, I've had my mom crying in front of me. I'm like, you know, it's, you know, the ranking of scale, it's, you know, it's top 7 maybe, you know, but not top 5. You know, but it's kind of like I was done drinking. You know, for the last year, I was like, life's kind of sucked. It wasn't any fun. I tried to quit drinking like 48 hours or 24 hours. I couldn't even make it 24 hours anymore. I'm like, something's got to change. And at the same time, I knew I had about 12 hours to make a decision. So after 12 hours, my brain's going to say, you know what, not that bad yet. It's his fault anyway. He shouldn't be working here. You're better than him. And I know my brain too well, unfortunately. And that's what would happen. So I called this guy up and said, when you're ready, give me a call. So I gave him a call. I said, I'm ready. He's like, all right, pick you up in an hour, hour and a half. And I was still half drunk, half tanked from, you know, from the night before. And we ended up going to some Mexican place. You ever got a new guy, don't bring in a Mexican. It's just a bad thing to do. And we went to a meeting. I have no idea what it was about. I have no idea where it was. Somewhere in Charlottesville. I couldn't even tell you. And all I remember he said was, are you done drinking? I said, yeah. He's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm done. You know, I wasn't real happy to ask twice. You know, something too much pride to admit I couldn't do something about it. And he's like, can you quit on your own? I'm like, no. He's like, you're willing to do what we ask you to do here? I'm like, I guess so. I really had no other option. If you had no other options, AA works out real well. And I really had no other options left. In the first 3 months of being AA, I hated being here. You know, I'm the youngest one in my area at the time. I was 25 years old. I'm like, I don't like holding hands at the end of the meeting. It's kind of sissy. I don't like it. And they talk about God. I don't like talking about God. And I'm like, am I really that bad? You know, they sit me down. Maybe it's a bad streak, you know? How can you be an alcoholic at 25 years old? And maybe you're in the wrong job. And that's really the big issue there. And we really want to rush into this stuff. Luckily, I just kept going to meetings and talk to people about it. And they'd be like, yeah, been there, done that. And I'd have drunk dreams, you know. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good one. My stomach was all screwed up. I was eating tongue by the handful. But I showed up to meetings. I was going 4 or 5 a week. I didn't know any better. I just did what people told me to do. I didn't say anything for 3 months either. I didn't think, yeah, I thought you could just come here and, you know, pass. You have to say a word, you know. And finally, my sponsor said, why don't you introduce yourself as an alcoholic? Well, I finally did, and, you know, 5 months over, like, when do you want to feel better? I'm like, well, now would be kind of nice, you know, to hurry up on this thing. He's like, good, go write your inventory. I'm like, what do you talk about inventory? He's like, so he showed me how to do it, and I asked him like 30 times, and I didn't do it perfect, and still got it lying around somewhere. But all I remember is that inventory, it's kind of like if I knew you, I didn't like you. Yeah, I was mad at you for some reason. It still that kind of is today. If I know you, I got resentment for you for some reason. I don't know why. But it's a sign of endearment for alcoholics. You know, if you don't make the list, you're not doing something right. But, yeah, then the big news, I got rid of all my secrets. You know, because every time I get sober for like 10 hours, 15 hours, something would go wrong. I'd be like, this is terrible. Then my brain goes, remember all this stuff you haven't talked about, all the secrets you got going around. Let's start thinking about those. I'm like, oh, like, we got to go drink and turn stuff off. And after doing the inventory, I didn't think for like an hour and a half. And it was so nice. I was kind of happy to be me. You know, before I was always like, I won't be that guy over there. He looks like he's got it together. Or, I won't be that guy. He makes a lot of money. He's a good-looking girlfriend. I won't be him. And, the first time I was happy to be me. And I didn't think for an hour and a half. I'm like, well, this thing might work. You know, so I got a lot of hope. Not because I didn't think AA might work. I thought I got a lot of hope because I saw people were sober a while. And my sponsor was sober a while. When I got here, he drank the way I did. And he was sober. I'm like, well, maybe it'll work. You know, a couple other guys used to be down there, and they drank the way I did, and they were sober and relatively happy. I'm like, if it worked for them, it may work for me. I didn't believe in God or AA. I'm just one of these guys. I got to see it to believe it type guy. But I did an inventory, and I started making amends. You know, I flew out to Chicago, made amends to my brother, and I mean, I had a lot of big amends to make, you know, because, like, I only did stupid stuff when I was drunk. When I was sober, I thought I was a nice guy, at least. And, for the most part, kind of used some people here and there, you know. But my amends were all hard to make, you know. My boss, one of the other guys I worked with, I gave him, you know, money back, you know. It's like, you didn't even know I stole. I'm like, you know, hey, $200, you know, I take bits and pieces over the last couple of years here and there. He's like, fine, he's okay with it. You know, he knew what I was trying to do. And so they, actually, my job, they made me a program director while I was there, after I was sober a while. I had to start talking to the kids about it, and you know, they trust me enough to do that. And that's simply because I made amends, and, you know, they start showing up on time and doing all those things they're supposed to be doing. It's amazing what things happen that way. And I was there for about 2 years, and I decided I didn't want to work there anymore. I was there about 5, 6 years, and I'm like, I don't want to work in the woods the rest of my life. I was 2 years sober, and I'm like, I don't want to leave the area either. I don't want to sponsor those farm, but I need to stay in there because I knew if I went to another meeting, I'd walk in the meeting, they wouldn't reach out to me. If you didn't reach out to me, I'd be like, you people, who are you? I was like, I don't, you don't reach out to me, make me feel included, do the things the way we do it, I'm not going to come back. I'm like, you guys don't do it right, you don't reach out to me, I don't feel like I belong here, screw it, I'm not coming back. And I just, that's my attitude. And so I knew I needed to stay in there if I was going to stay sober, because I just didn't trust moving somewhere that early in sobriety. Some people do it, and that's fine. Me, I just don't do that well. And I ended up getting a job working for my sponsor. They wanted to be a teacher, so now I teach history and math nowadays. And I never planned it that way, it just kind of worked. And I bought a house and all this stuff. And things got better. But I remember the first 3-4 years of sobriety, I always worried about the future so much. I was anxious and uptight. I'm like, I wonder where I'm going to be in 5 years. My dad would talk to me, he's like, well, you need to have goals and objectives. You got to plan this stuff out. I'm like, oh, it's terrible. I spent a lot of time thinking about the future. I get anxious and I get tight. And I'd be like, I'm not making enough money. My sponsor said one day, he's like, what do you trust God's going to work this out or not? Well, that's such a nice thing to say, trusting God, do AA, it works out. Like, it sounds nice. In reality, it doesn't work for me. I think too much. I don't want answers. Really, at the same time, we're listening to this guy down in Kentucky. We did a road trip down there, and he was talking about God. I'm like, I have a lot of old ideas about God. I don't know, for some reason, Catholics have a lot of old ideas about God. I don't know what kind of priest they have there. So I started thinking of my ideas about God. I'm like, well, if I believe in God, I got to go to church. I don't know where that idea came from, but I believe that one. It's like, if God really exists, I'm kind of screwed because I was an altar boy at one time, and I'd steal the Eucharist, chug the wine. I'd use the Bible for rolling papers. I'd just curse out God left and right. He exists, prove it. I just sit in bars and disprove God. It's kind of some way to make people angry and good argument to get into. I'm like, God really exists. I don't know if this is going to work or not. And I start looking at all those ideas. I'm like, none of them are true, but I think about them all the time. And then, I used to be real lazy, I still am sometimes, about doing the prayer morning and night because, what's 5 minutes going to make? 10-20 minutes in the morning, what difference is that going to make? Can't make a difference. And my sponsor was like, well, we did the inventory, why don't you start doing this for a while and see what happens? And I did for a while, all of a sudden I wasn't so tight about the future anymore. I started relaxing and I started believing, that probably it is going to work out. I guess it's kind of neat. I still go through phases, I'll do it for a while and I don't do it for a while. But I know it works. I just get lazy. Isn't that kind of the way alcoholics are? We know this thing's going to work, and I should do it, but it's like my brain says you're too busy. Do it tomorrow. One day ain't going to hurt you. I can justify it in a second. And, I've done inventory a couple times. I still find the same petty guy. I still get the same old resentment to people. I don't get enough attention. Don't feel important enough. Don't make enough money. For some reason, I sometimes think the more money you make has to deal with self-esteem. I don't know why. I just think about that stuff, and I get that stuff, and I move on from it. And, I gave my dad a big book early on, and he read it. My dad's a logical mind. He sits there and read it and says, so let me get this straight. You guys seem to feel kind of different, like you don't fit in. It seems like a self-esteem issue. I'm like, well, I guess, Dad, I never got that from the book, but that's what you got. And he's like, well, once you feel better about yourself, you don't have to do this as much anymore, huh? I'm like, that doesn't work that way, Dad. He's like, well, why not? I'm like, well, Dad, after a while, you go to church. My dad goes to church, my mom goes to church like 3-4 times. I'm like, Dad, well, do you ever hear the same thing in church after a while? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, well, why don't you stop going? And that's the closest he can understand. He doesn't get it because he also said to me, he's like, you don't get all those meetings, because you don't want to limit your support group and social group to just AA. You need your church family and your work family. And I go to 4 or 5 meetings a week. I get goofy. He doesn't understand that either. But he'd sit there and go, well, if you get in trouble after 3 beers, why don't you just stop at 3? It doesn't work that way, Dad. I get excited. He's like, he almost went to work for a rehab center. So he asked me some questions, and he's like, well, alcohol's a depressant, isn't it? I'm like, not at all, Dad. I love alcohol. I get excited. I get energized. I feel good when I'm drinking. He just looks at me like I'm weird. I'm like, I know, Dad, you don't get it. That's all right. So I go back home, and, you know, it cracks me up. They have this Christmas party, Christmas Eve. They had like 100 people over from the church. And I helped set it. My dad would have the bar over here and the food over there. Yeah, they love doing that stuff. When I was drinking, my thing was I get the jackets. I didn't want to talk to you people. I came to this party because I didn't know them. I was out of state. I don't like socializing. I really just wanted to be kept to myself, really. So I put two beers in my back pocket and one in my pocket here, and I sit in the front porch and I collect jackets. I just sit there and get drunk on the front porch, you know. And they didn't understand why I did that, and that's fine with me. But then it's like, after I got sober, you know, it's like, I helped my dad set up the bar, because he didn't want me around the bar before. And it's funny, because every year we have to dust off the bottles. You know, I'm bringing them out, dust them off, and we go out to the fridge, and, you know, half the beer's bad, so it's been sitting there for a year now. We have to throw it away and buy more, and I start cracking up every year. It's so funny, like that. I've never seen beer go bad after a year. Like, it's not even lasting more than a week in my place. And, you know, it just looked at me. And they came down for my 30th birthday a couple years ago. And this is when he first started to understand it, because my aunt, my uncle, my brother, and his wife came down. It's like, never going to go drink. Right? We're having like some wine with dinner. And I'm like, well, I'll go shopping. You don't know where you're going, bring it around. And he starts asking, like, how many bottles do you think we should get? And I'm like, let's do this. How many of you are drinking? He's like, five. Okay, well, five of you, getting red and white? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, what do you think people are going to like? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, all right, well, plan three glasses each. And he kind of looks at me once. I'm like, no, it'll be okay. Three glasses, 15 glasses, you know, I probably want, that's at least a bottle of wine. Probably get two white and two red. And he looks at me and says, you think we need that much? I'm like, yeah, Dad. I'm thinking we might need one more just to be safe. You know, it's like, I'm going to throw a wine period. I drank three bottles of Merlot by noon. I love this stuff. And we started having this party, you know, it's a little dinner, and I think I went through half a bottle. You know, my dad's like, now I know what's wrong with you. I'm like, yeah. And he started getting it. That's just the way my mind works. The more, the merrier. But that's my dad. He's just happy I'm sober. And he's happy as I show up for Thanksgiving and Christmas nowadays. I skip Christmas all the time, you know. When I'm drunk, it's like, do you want to go home with Mom and Dad? Or do you want to go skiing with your drunk buddy? I'm off drinking because I want to drink the way I want to drink. And I caused a lot of damage that way to my family. I never knew this stuff. I never knew my mom stayed up till 3 in the morning waiting for me to come home just to make sure the car's in one piece in there, you know. And so when I'm making amends, I try to go to those holidays now. And they're happy to have me home. You know, I don't think twice about it. It's like, not a big deal to me, but they love it, you know, because I missed out on so much just during my drinking time. Because my brain says this is a better idea. And so I did all this stuff, and you know, I sponsored some people over the years. And you know, it's always kind of neat because it's not my opinion at all. You know, you want my opinion, I'd be more than happy to give it to you after the meeting. I got lots of them. You know, I'm Republican, and you know, I work in lots of Democrats, and that's never good. And I got lots of opinions and ideas. You know what? They didn't work. They're no good then. They're really no good now either. Okay? The only way I know to stay sober is why you follow what they do in the big book. I don't even read that very well some days. You know, I like to interpret it, you know. This is what it really means. I don't have to do this. And so I got a sponsor for that way. And what happens when I take people through the steps, it's like, I don't have to tell you my opinion. I'm like, this is what we're going to do. You either do it or you don't. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to get you sober. I'm not going to get you drunk. You know, it's up to you. If you want to do it, I can show you how to do it. I can show you how to get a relationship with God. And I, this is going to work. It's guaranteed to work if you do it. And some of them do it, and some of them don't. And it's kind of neat to see the change. I got one guy in jail right now, and one guy just got out of jail. You know? And it's neat to see the difference. The guy going to jail, really want to do an inventory, he's making amends, getting that stuff done. The guy who got out of jail doesn't call very regularly. I don't know if I sponsor him half the time. You know? And it's like it's neat to see that justification. I understand. He calls me up, and he's like, I've been busy working. I'm like, I understand. I don't know if I'm sponsoring anymore or not. What are you doing? You know, it's just the way the mind works. And so I need that structure. My early on my sobriety, my sponsor, used to say, let's meet me at my house. That stuff drove me nuts because he kind of lives the opposite way of the meetings. He's like, be there at 6:30. I'm like, all right. I show up at 6:32 and he's gone. You know, down the road, I have to chase him down. But you show up at 6:20, you sit there till like 7, doing nothing. You know, it's just, I didn't understand it. That's the way, you know, that's the way that people are sometimes. It doesn't make sense to me, but the thing is, it doesn't have to make sense. You know, it's just if I do these things. Like, I went to play golf with, you know, like, guy laid into me right the day I got sober. I went to play golf with his family last week. We're down in Myrtle Beach for a week. You know, I made amends to him. I had to do it a couple different times because we're both stubborn. I like to prove I'm right. When I'm right, it gets really bad, you know. And so I made amends to him, and every year he invites me to get down to his family, play golf in Myrtle Beach. 16 of us will go down. You know, I talk to his dad and have a good time down there. You know, making these amends really worked out well. And I've been dating a woman for a year and a half now. And she got a 4-year-old kid. You're talking about screwing with your alcoholic brain. It's like, you know, people say, well, you're not dating, you know, you're dating her, not the kid. I'm like, it's not that simple. You know, it's like a package deal type thing. You know, you're going to get screws in my alcoholic brain more than I need to. But we've been dating a year and a half, and it's great. But we got very different personalities. I'm structured. I like to be on time. You know, I'm anxious. I wasn't here. I like to be 15, 20 minutes early usually. She doesn't mind showing up 5 minutes late. You know, it drives me nuts. And then you got a 4-year-old. You ever try to get a 4-year-old someplace on time? His new thing, he loves to play hide and seek. You know, like we're out the door going to school. Come on, let's go. And he's like, hi. You know, so I got a little more patience last year dealing with them because, you know, living by yourself, you don't have to deal with anybody. You can yell at yourself if you want to, but it's really not that much fun. And, you know, so I've gotten a lot of practice in relationships dealing with that. And, you know, I find I still react poorly a lot. I believe in that. It's like, you know, she's talking to me, she's like, you know, Will's got soccer practice on Friday. Can you go? I'm like, no. She's like, what are you talking about? You're not doing anything Friday. I'm like, I can't go. I'm busy. She's like, doing what? I'm like, nothing. You know, like, my immediate response is, I don't like being told what to do still. You know, don't, you know, I have my own time, my own schedule. Don't tell me what to do. And so my answer is just no right away. It's, you know, I've gotten I get bad habits like that. So, you know, if I, you catch me off guard, I intuitively just lie or manipulate or something like that. Like, about 3 years ago, I guess, I was late for work. You know, the power went off. I didn't hear the alarm clock or something. My boss called me up. He's like, you coming to work today? I'm like, yeah, I'm sick this morning. I'll be there in 5 minutes. I'm like, yeah, I just lied like that, you know. I could go make amends to him first thing in the morning. And, you know, it's just the way my brain works sometimes still. You know, I'm not real good at this all the time. You know, I hate, the longer I'm sober, the hate I say I'm wrong. I'd rather justify my thing because as long as I'm sober, I'm wrong. I didn't mean to do it. What can I do to make it right? It drives me nuts. You know, it's like, especially when I date Chris, you know, it's like she's the one that tries to get it the most because I, you know, I don't want to admit I'm wrong to her because I don't know why. It's just, it just doesn't mean we'll get there and after a while, like, I was wrong. I didn't mean to do it. And, you know, we're good again. But it's like, the more you involve other people, the more you have to practice this stuff. And, you know, like my boss at work, he's in a couple of them. And I don't always get along with him. He said, you know, we're both similar personalities. We're all business. You know, if we don't have anything to talk about, why are we going to talk? You know, so I'm going to talk to him for like 2 or 3 months. And it drives him nuts. He wants to know what's going on in my class. I'm like, nothing. This is going well. This is good. I've got a problem with this kid and this kid. Nothing wrong. He's like, you got to start talking to me at least on a weekly basis. I'm like, why? You know, what are we going to talk about here? You know, we always get in arguments about stuff. He's like, just tell him, but talk to me once a week. I'm like, fine. You know, so I start reaching out to him once a week. You know, he doesn't reach out to me very much. He's a busy man. And I'll sit there and go, you don't talk to me. You don't reach out to me at all. Why am I supposed to be doing this to you? I mean you more than halfway. You know, and it's just, that's just my alcoholic brain. You know, my brain's job is really not to make me feel happy and good. My brain's job is really to make me feel uncomfortable enough, different enough, anxious enough, uptight enough, that I'll go back to drink. And it can't work anymore like this, go drink, you know. It doesn't work that way anymore. So it comes up with these great new plans and ideas of, you know, you don't fit in. You don't, you know, this isn't good enough. You know, AA's not enough. You know, you're too busy to go to those meetings. You know, I'm dealing with, we have a small meeting, it's like, same 5 of us there every Monday night. I can quote you what half the people say all the time. My brain will say, why do you need to go there Monday night? Been there for 7 years. You should take a night off. Now you got, you know, I'm gonna score now earning a master's degree. I'm like, you got homework to do. You know? I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. And I can get bought into that, but then I've been told, just show up and write how you're feeling. And so I go to the meeting anyways. And usually I hear something good that I need to hear. You know, that's the biggest thing is that my feelings are not that important anymore. You know, my thing is, if I don't feel good, someone's going to take me, someone's come out on somebody, or I can justify not going to work, or I can change my behavior. And when you feel down, we don't care how you feel, this is what you need to do. You know, go to work on time. Reach out to people whether you want to or not. You know, make amends to people whether you feel like it or not, you know. You're not gonna have people talk about amends like, I don't have the willingness to do it. I'm like, who cares if you're willing to, just go do it. You know, I made some amends I didn't want to do them. I don't know if I did them right anyways, but I didn't want to do them. I just went and did them. You know, I cleared some stuff up. Still don't like the people. I just cleared stuff up, so I don't have to worry about it anymore, you know. I was one of those guys, one time I got sober, I didn't answer the phone because I didn't know who was going to call and be mad at me. I hate going to the mailbox. I was like, you know, you get the pink letters and the blue letters, you know, cutting power off here, you know, this light over time. I hate that stuff. You know, I was like, now I'm not worried about avoiding anybody. I got no one to avoid. I don't want to go to the mailbox still because I got bills, but they're all the white and regular color now, which is kind of nice. And I paid off my debt, and, you know, I don't owe anybody anything. I'm not worried about running into anybody. And how do you do that? My brain would have said, move again. This would be a good way to fix your problem. And, you know, I said, well, deal with those people. You never deal, go back to Virginia anymore. You know, bless my alcoholic brain. When I follow the directions here, I don't always agree with them. My life gets better. And, you know, it's my sponsor's deal. And my sponsor, I'm going to talk this for 2 minutes to be done. My sponsor and I have gone through a lot together. And we've gone through phases where we're good, we get along well. I've gone through phases where I don't want to talk to them. You know, I don't know why, just different personalities. We're both stubborn alcoholics, you know how we are. And for like 6 months, I call them up Monday night, that's when I have to do it, and I tell them what's going on. I just give them, tell them what's going on, like, see you later. I wouldn't talk to them. I don't know why. I mean, we were angry. I was annoyed with them. It's just one of these alcoholic things. For 6 months, we didn't really talk too well. And finally, we dealt with the whole thing. We're back on good graces again. But it's like, you don't have to do this perfect. You know, you're alcoholics. We're going to screw it up more than most people, probably. But the great thing is we have a way to fix everything. You know, I fixed things with my sponsor because I went through the book and said, this is what's wrong. This is what I did. And we cleared everything up. And for me to be 7 years sober and relatively happy, I never thought that was possible. I'm like, you're going to be sober, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be acting out. You're not going to deal with anybody. Be sober and happy. I didn't think it was possible. But simply because I came here and followed directions, it worked. And so thanks for having me.